Open your Bibles to the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. I'll see if I can work with this microphone. Yeah, I do. Sure do. We need to get the microphone fixed, some guy. Whoever knows how to fix it, well, you got a job. Look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Amen. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. Read it one more time. By him, that's Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And what is that sacrifice of praise? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today with your word. And Lord, we ask you to bless us. Give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give, and may your Holy Spirit touch your word. May you touch hearts and lives and change hearts and lives here today. We pray for anyone that's lost, that they might be saved. We pray for all of us that are saved, that, Lord, we'd change some things in our life and glorify your name. Amen. I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless this word, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, when I first got saved, I had always believed the Bible was the Word of God. That's what I was taught when I was a child. That's what my folks believed. We had a Bible in the house. I didn't spend much time reading it, but I had memorized the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes and some other things like that in Sunday school. But as far as me spending any time with the Bible, I didn't. Now, I knew the stories of the Bible from Sunday school and from my parents and whatever, but I didn't have that great of any. I believed it was the Word of God, but somehow that didn't register. That didn't really come down to me. When I got saved, though, after I got saved, I began to read the Bible, and the more I read it, the more convinced I became it really was the Word of God. And that if I could find out what it said on any given subject, I had the truth. That if I didn't have to go anywhere else. I don't have to prove it by anything else. If I can find out what God has to say on a subject, I can find out the truth.
That's right.
And if I've got the truth, what more do you want?
Yeah, that's right.
My job's to preach truth.
Right.
Been my pleasure to preach truth.
Amen.
Truth has changed my life.
Amen.
I mean, I had a revelation. I mean, I had a revolution. When I got saved, I got my mind changed and everything changed with it. And if you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to know you need to get saved. You need your mind transformed. You need to think differently about the world and about eternity, about heaven, about God, about sin, about salvation. You need to have a revolution in your mind. And when your mind changes, I guarantee your life will change. But not only that, as a Christian, my life's changed. I've come across truth that I say, wow, I'm impressed. That is the truth, and my life changed because of that. Now, that's a little different change than that revolution I was talking about when I got saved. But it works out the same way. All of a sudden, my mind thinks differently about something, and praise is one of those things.
Amen.
You know, the Psalms are poetry. Jewish, old Jewish poetry. The songs we sing today, they're poetry. We have poets. Now, Fanny Crosby, we've probably got about 40 of her hymns in this hymnal here. They say she wrote 6,000. John Wesley, we have about 15 of his in our hymnal. I read where he wrote 9,000. Charles Wesley, 9,000 hymns. These are poets. And we can learn a lot sometimes from poets, especially the Jewish poets. The most famous of them was David. Now, he not only was a military genius, he was a genius when it came to music. He created instruments. And he directed the singing and stuff like that in the tabernacle and whatever. He wrote many. No telling how many he wrote. He wrote most of the Psalms. It's called the Book of David by many people. Book of Psalms, the Book of David. Now, he didn't write all of the Psalms. Many of the Psalms in there by other people. But we got one from Moses and one, maybe more, from Solomon. But David wrote a bunch of them. And for that many to be recorded in here, he probably wrote a whole lot more. The man had a spiritual mind, and if I get down, if I get in the dumps, you know what? I read the Psalms. If I have people that are having problems, I'll tell them to read Philippians chapter 4 and read the Psalms. Because here is somebody that even in the most depressing situations found a way to glorify God. Found a way to praise God. Now, I'll have to say that when I first got saved, my major interest was salvation. I was an evangelist. That was my total work. I wanted to see souls saved. Every sermon I preached, I wanted souls to get saved. Every time I went visiting into a house, I wanted to see someone get saved. I saw a lot of people get saved. But I found out there's a whole lot more to this Bible than just salvation. Not that that's unimportant. It is important. It's the most important thing that people get saved. But once they're saved, what's my job as a pastor? To teach the whole truth of the Word of God. Don't hold anything back. Things that offend people, they just have to offend. People get mad at me. I've had people mad at me all the time. Probably make somebody mad today. Maybe already have. I expect it. I don't like it. I don't necessarily aim for it, but I don't worry too much. I don't lose much sleep at night over either. I begin to see something here. Do you know what? You're not praising God if it doesn't use your lips. Amen. You know what that said? That's a definition. That's a definition of praise. Do you think you praise? Do you think you praise? Well, it says here, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Wow. You know, a lot of time in my life, I would think great thoughts of God, but I didn't say it with my mouth. There is a difference. If you say it with your mouth, somebody else can hear you. Somebody else can be blessed by it, or they can be turned off by it. One or the other. But praise is giving with your mouth thanksgiving to God. And I believe one of the major things to make a Christian happy. Would you like to be a happy Christian? Amen. Learn to thank God. Amen. On your worst day, learn to thank God. Yes. Give God the praise. You're not so great. Right. And your opinion doesn't matter for very much. Amen. And your will isn't all that strong. And we're not going to think you're Mr. America like John Wayne. But God is. And on your worst day, saved person, you're still going to heaven. On the most disastrous time of your life, your name's still written in heaven. And you got something to thank God for every day of your life. You have something to thank God for. And it needs to come out of your mouth. Now, I know some of you are reticent when somebody says, amen, over here. I've gone into churches when I'm visiting. In fact, I almost don't anymore because I just make a disturbance. I used to sing too loud. I don't sing anymore, but I used to sing too loud. And I would say, amen. And everybody in the church goes, who is saying amen? They don't have it. They don't lift their hands. They don't praise the Lord. They don't say amen. They don't say thank the Lord. Hallelujah. And some of you are that way. You need to open your mouth. Now don't tell me about how much you praise God in your heart. I want to know what you do with your lips. Because what I read in this Bible, and I'm going to show you several verses, it's what you do with your lips.
That's right.
And we need to open up our mouths and give praise unto God. Some of you are naturally depressed people. Now that's the truth. I'm sorry about it, but if there's, because I've talked to you about it, you talk to me about it, you're just naturally depressed. You'd be a whole lot happier if you learned to praise God.
Amen.
I mean, practice praise when you don't feel like it. You say, well, I feel like if I do it when I don't feel like it, God won't count it. Oh, God will count it. God will count it. You'll be a whole lot happier if you'll learn to praise God. Now, David did something back in Chronicles. Turn back with Chronicles to me. Chapter 23 of Chronicles and verse 30. Very interesting thing. 1 Chronicles 23:30. David and Solomon appointed, look what it says, verse 30, a group of men to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord and likewise at even. These are professional singers. I guess that's where in many of our churches we have the choirs and they have the cantatas. And they have the specials, and we got these professionals that got a PhD in organ that's playing the organ for us, and we've got these great singers that can come out and really, man, put a show on. Well, David had it. It was at the temple in the morning, it was at the temple at the evening. If you went walking by the temple in the morning, you'd hear this great choir, like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, singing.
Yeah.
And you'd say, wow, that's absolutely beautiful. And if you walked by there at night, you'd hear that great choir again singing. And they practiced them and they knew them and they knew what they were going to do. And they were singing those psalms.
Amen.
And maybe a whole lot of them that aren't even in this book right here. That David wrote and others wrote. They had their psalms and practiced them. Let me tell you something. Some of you have bad days every week. You'd have a better day if you did this.
That's right.
You get up in the morning. I don't mean you have to be super spiritual or super holy, but you can get up in the morning and while you're shaving in front of the mirror, you can say, thank you, Lord, for another day.
Amen. Amen.
And when you go to bed at night, you can say, thank you, Lord, I made it another day.
Amen.
I got back to this bed one more time. Or you can thank God for your kids, or you can thank God for your marriage, or you can thank God that you got a job. I know some of you, all you can say about your job is what you don't like about it.
Yeah.
You ought to thank God you got a paycheck. There's a whole lot of people who don't have a paycheck right now.
That's right.
What he said, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord and likewise at even. Now that's not a very big change, but let me tell you something. You can change.
Amen.
Don't tell me I've been doing this 30 years. I don't care how long you've been doing it. You can change. If I didn't believe people could change, I'd quit preaching.
Yeah, that's right.
I preach because I believe you can change and get saved. You can be in here today and you can repent of your sins and take Christ as your Savior.
That's right.
You can change. A change that'll not only be for this life, but for all eternity.
Amen.
I don't know what would have happened to our marriage if I hadn't got saved. But I did get saved.
Amen.
And we've had a wonderful marriage. 55 years of marriage. Dating for 2 years before that. That poor girl's been putting up with me 57 years. I've changed. You can ask her. She'll tell you how I've changed. And if I change, you can change.
Amen. Amen.
Don't tell me you got to go the way, rest of the way of your life just the same way you are right now. You can change.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what it'll do for your life if you'll learn to praise God instead of
Amen.
Complain.
Yeah.
I really get tired of whiners.
Yeah.
I'm not real good for crybabies. I don't do well with crybabies. I really don't. I don't give you much slack.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, but I am not a good mother. I am a father. I know the difference. Every morning, open up your heart and say, God, what have you got to be thankful for?
Yeah. Amen.
Just tell Him.
Amen.
And if you can't think of anything, think of your salvation.
Amen.
Every day. You know, I don't really like getting old. I don't necessarily like being bald or fat. But I like every day I'm alive. And just because I'm old, I would like to be 33 and a half years old in body and mind for the rest of my life for a couple of hundred years or whatever, but it ain't going to work that way. I'm getting old. I'm going to kick the bucket one of these days, and probably with a good bit of force. And then I'll thank God I made it to heaven.
Amen.
But while I'm here, I'm thanking God I've got a friend. I'm thanking God I've got a house. I'm thankful I can actually buy a new set of tires on my car today.
Amen.
I can remember for a long, long time I carried three spares because everything I had was worth nothing. I had to have three spares just to make it there and back. They were $5 spares, in case you didn't know. That was all I could afford. Oh, it's nice to walk in and say, give me a new set of Michelins. And ride them for 50,000 miles. And don't have a single flat. I can thank God for that. I'll tell you what, they had a habit right here, and it's a good habit, and you ought to do it. You ought to open your mouth, and it ought to come out of your mouth, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
That's right. That's right.
Let's look at some of these Psalms. I'm going to start with 119. Psalms 119, verse 108. I believe David wrote 119 myself. It doesn't say it, but I believe he did. Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. What did he say? Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord.
Amen.
How much free will offering did you give to God last week?
Amen.
Yeah. I know some of you give your money. That's great. Everybody ought to give your money.
That's right.
If everybody give you money, there'd be a lot less problems in the church.
That's right.
But some of you just stingy guts. That's the way. You just haven't learned how to give. I'm sorry for you, but that's all right.
Yeah.
What'd you give God an offering? What came out of your mouth this week? Was it complaining because of your aches and pains? Was it complaining because of the job that you have, or the wife that you have, or the husband that you have, or the kids that you have, or the parents that you have? What are you complaining about? How about giving God a free will offering?
Amen.
Accept the free will offering of my mouth, O God. That's
Amen.
Praise.
Amen.
That's praise. Something you can do. Look at number 164. Psalm 119, 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Seven times a day when you're riding in the car, when you're in a traffic jam, can you praise God?
Yeah.
I tell you what, you'll have a better blood pressure.
Yeah. That's right.
You probably won't die of an aneurysm real quickly.
That's right.
I mean, your heartbeat will go down a little bit if you could praise God during all of that traffic. Wouldn't it do you some good?
Amen.
Well, maybe you need to change and do it. Today is the day to change.
Amen. Good.
Start praising God. Seven times a day do I praise thee. Now, I preached on this verse one time, and I said, you ought to tell your wife. I was preaching about marriage. I said, you ought to tell your wife seven times a day that I love you. I had one of my deacons, he said, I'm doing that, brother. I get up in the morning, I walk in there and said, I love you, 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 I love you. I got it done for the day. That's not exactly what I meant, but it'll work. That's better than what you're doing right now. Amen? People need to hear that you love them. God wants to hear that you love Him. And He wants you to use your mouth. Don't you close your mouth up on me. God wants you to use your mouth to give praise. And it's any time all day long.
Amen.
If you all thought about what you could do, you probably can ring bells in heaven. Did you know there's some noise going on up there when people get saved?
Yeah.
I think there's some joy going up there when some Christian lifts his voice up and says, I thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
I praise you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, God, thank you for my salvation. Oh, God, thank you for my kids. God, thank you for healing us. God, thank you for providing enough money. You're not supposed to have as much money as the richest person in this church. You're not supposed to. You wouldn't know what to do with it. It would ruin you. Probably ruin your kids. You think, oh, I want to win the lottery. Oh, I want to get $1 million. I want to have a great uncle die and leave me all this estate. No, you really don't. It messes up more people than it helps. God knows the people who can handle it and the people who can't. I'm one of those that can't, and God never gave it to me. I was born a poor boy in an old farmhouse on the Lampasas River, right in Texas. I'm going to die a poor boy, probably out here around San Antonio somewhere. But I tell you what, I thank God for the life I've had. I thank Him that I've lived 73 years going on 74.
Praise the Lord.
I never expected to, but I could get up every day and thank God for that.
Amen.
Says right here, lost my place, 164, seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgment. Now go back in the Psalms and go back to chapter 33. 33:1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright.
Amen.
You ever seen anybody that just looks good?
Yeah, that's right.
You ever seen someone just put on a dress, just got the right kind of dress, and it just fits them just right, and it's not ugly, it's not nasty, it's just beautiful, and in the old days they would say that's comely.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what's comely on you? Praise.
Amen.
Praise. Now you may not like this. I don't care whether you like it or not. It's what God says.
Amen.
I'm convinced it's the truth. I'm convinced you can have a better life if you'll change your mind. And I'm convinced you'll look better to God.
Amen.
You'll look better to God. It's comely. You'll look better to some Christians too. You might look better to your wife or to your husband. You might look better to your mother, your father. You might look better to your children if you had some praise coming out of your mouth every once in a while. Man, we've got a bunch of negative attitudes about everything under the sun. Have you ever thought about when you're complaining about the weather, you're complaining about God? It's not Mother Nature. It's Father God. I just want you to know. I know what they're going to teach in school and what they're going to say on the television is Mother Nature. But it ain't Mother Nature. It's Father God, and it's His will.
Yes.
There ought to be some praise coming out of your mouth. Seven times a day, He says. He said, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Praise is comely. You're going to look better.
Amen.
Look at the next Psalm, 34. First three verses. I will. Are you reading this with me?
Yeah, that's right.
I will you?
That's right.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
Amen.
That's good times and bad times.
Yeah, that's right.
That's convenient times and inconvenient times. That's when everything's going good, and that's when everything's going bad.
Yeah.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is the Psalm of David. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That's what he did.
That's right.
I mean, he went out against Goliath and he said, the Lord's going to give me.
Yeah, that's right.
The Lord's going to give you to me. The Lord will protect me. The Lord saved me from the bear and the Lord saved me from the lion. I bet you he didn't see an angel anywhere.
Yeah.
I'll bet you he took his knife and he took his sling and he went after that bear and he killed that bear all by himself. He said, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the bear. I bet you when that lion came up, he didn't see any angels standing there to stick it down or kill it and didn't die of a heart attack when it saw him. I bet it was his own knife. His own knife, his own club. But you know what he said? The Lord delivered me out of the hand of the lion. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof. How are they going to hear it? You got to open your mouth.
That's right.
You got to say some words.
Yes.
You got to give God the credit.
Amen.
You don't give God the credit enough. We don't give God the credit enough. And because of that, we live a miserable life in compared to what we ought to have.
Amen.
You can change. Don't tell me you can't change. You get convinced it's the Word of God. And then he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. He wants people to lift up the name of the Lord. And when two or three Christians get around, they ought to be thankful that they're Christians.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 51. David's psalm of contrition, confession, repentance. Look at verse 15. David has repented. And here's what he asked the Lord. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise.
Amen.
Open thou my lips. Some of you got your lips too tied shut. Your lips are just too tied shut. You need to open your lips.
That's right. Amen.
When I first began to see this, I began to practice in the car by myself. Thank you, Lord. And it was strange to me. Maybe strange to some of you. It's not strange to the Bible. It's not strange to the will of God. I know people thought I must have been nuts. Who is that guy? He doesn't have the radio on. He's talking to himself. But I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for my car, and thank you, Lord, for my job, and thank you, Lord, for my wife, and thank you, Lord, for my... Lord. And I just said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I had to practice before I got you. It doesn't bother me to say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
It doesn't bother me to say, amen.
Amen.
It bothers some of you.
Yeah.
You can change.
Amen.
You can change.
Amen.
One thing we know about human nature is you can change. You make up your mind about it. You know why I'm fat? I haven't changed. I'm still eating too much. If I changed my mind and quit eating and ate like some of you, I'd be skinny. I know that's hard to believe. Open thou my lips. Open thou my lips. And my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Is your mouth worth anything? You can tell a dirty joke, but you can't praise God? Whoa.
Yeah.
What kind of testimony is that before the angels? What kind of testimony is that before the church? What kind of testimony is that with your family and your children? Look at Psalm 71. I'm sorry, 63. 63 has a verse you got to see. I may go long today. I may not get through with this. Look at verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee.
Amen.
If you got the import of that verse, you ought to read that one every day for a while.
Yeah.
Thy loving kindness is better than life. Every pleasure you have comes because you're alive. God gave you life, gave you a human body. And whether it's food or sex or money or spending and shopping, friends, it's all because of life.
That's right.
But God's loving kindness, it's better.
Amen.
It's better than anything you've ever seen.
Yes.
Better than you ever know. If you read that, you would not have a bad day.
That's right.
It might start bad. It might get bad. It wouldn't finish bad.
That's right.
Because you could look at it and say, no matter what's happened to me,
yeah, that's right.
I have the loving kindness of God upon me.
Yeah.
My loving kindness is better than life. Those aren't my words. I didn't write them. Bless your heart. All I do is read them. I believe it.
That's right.
I wish I had more praise in my life. I wish I were more thankful. Some of the greatest blessings of my life have been because I learned to thank and praise God.
Amen.
Instead of complaining about everything that came my way. You know, there's a lot of things I prayed for I didn't get. I've been around a long time. I've been praying 52 years. I don't know how much I prayed before I got saved. I know I've been praying 52 years. I prayed for some things I really wanted. I was very disappointed many times in my life about certain things that didn't come my way. I've come to the place now to think that God gave me what I needed and he kept me from a lot of trouble by not answering some of my prayers and my desires. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, I'm going to praise thee. Now go to Psalm 71, verse 8. Psalm 71, verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and thy honor all the day. That's your mouth. That's not your mind. It's not your heart. And it's not your soul. God wants you to open your mouth in praise all the day long. Now, you don't have to become a nut, but you need to change your attitude. You don't have to be somebody who just walks around jumping up and jolly and everybody think you're crazy and then they want to lock you up. But you ought to open your mouth and say, why?
Yeah.
I was sort of singing to myself. I do that all the time. I love to sing. I just, my voice won't take it anymore. But I was going down the halls of a high school and I'm just humming along to myself, you know. This little girl comes up to me and said, you must be a romantic. I said, what do you mean? She said, you're singing. Why are you always singing? I said, because I've been saved.
Amen.
God forgave my sin and my soul was saved and I'm happy.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Look at verses 14 and 15. But I will hope continually. You're disappointed right now? Well, keep on hoping. You haven't got what you wanted? Well, keep on hoping. And while you hope, pray about it. He said, I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth, you hear that? My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. I know not the numbers thereof. Turn to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3 and verse 17. I know some of you in here had more trouble than others. Some of you are going through trying times right now, more so than others around you. You've never been in this position. You might have lived through the Great Depression, but you haven't lived to this position. Look what Habakkuk says. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. That's a bad depression. That's pretty bad. My dad lived through the Great Depression. I was born in the Great Depression. But they had corn and they had chickens. They didn't even have money to drive the car. They had a car, but they couldn't drive it. They worked picking cotton and doing all sorts of things, anything to make a little money. He didn't like hominy all my life, and he didn't like chicken. Because that's what he ate day after day after day during the Depression was hominy. They took the corn that they couldn't just use right then. They made it into hominy. And my dad didn't like hominy. Yeah. And he didn't like chicken. Because that's all he could eat for several years. Yeah. I've never been in that shape. Have you?
That's right.
I've never been in that shape. Oh, I've seen some bad times. I've seen the time when I was a full-time preacher that I didn't have the money. And I saw a lost man take $100 and give it to me because I was a preacher. And I had to thank God. But I've never been here. I've never been here. I'm still married to the same woman. All my kids are alive. I've got grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I'm still preaching the gospel. I'm standing in a pulpit today, preaching one of the great truths of this book. I've never been there. But look what he says in verse 18. Yet, with all these things being true, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. If all that's true, don't think I'm making light of your heartbreak, your sorrow, your troubles. I'm not. I hurt just like you hurt. Sometimes I even hurt for you. You know something? I'm going to praise God anyhow. I hope I can go to my death praising God anyhow. Even if I can't have enough faith to thank God for the problem, which you probably, if you had enough faith, you could do. But I can praise God anyhow. I can praise God in spite of. I can praise God, and it's going to make me have a better day. Guaranteed better day. I want to talk about a couple of preachers. Look at the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. Two serious preachers of the gospel, two serious missionaries. Their purpose was to do the will of God. God denied them to go into Asia. God denied them to go into Bithynia. And then, in a dream at night, or maybe a vision, whatever, trance, there was a man from Macedonia reached out to Paul and said, come over and help us. They went over there to Macedonia. They got in trouble pretty quick. They probably had 39 lashes on their back. It says many stripes. Laid many stripes on their back. And they threw them into the deepest dungeon. Now that does not sound like a successful missionary trip to me. I'd have a hard time praising God for that missionary trip, wouldn't you? I'd think God let me down. I think I might just be complaining. Well, that wasn't what they did. That wasn't what they did. Look at verse 25. Acts 16:25. And at midnight, their feet are in stocks and their backs are bleeding. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang prisoners, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They didn't do it quietly.
That's right.
They didn't do it mutely. They didn't do it in their heart or in their mind. They opened their mouth and they praised God. They opened their mouth and they sang praises and thanksgiving to God. And God sent an earthquake.
Yes, right.
Shook the stocks loose. Shook the chains loose. Shook the doors open. And right here in this same place, the guy that ran, the keeper of the prison, he's ready to kill himself.
Yeah.
Save being tortured to death by his superior. They said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. We didn't even run out. We didn't even leave. Do thyself no harm. We're all here. And he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house, and they all got saved.
Praise him.
They all got saved. You know how they got saved? God took two of his faithful servants and allowed them to be arrested, allowed them to be beaten with stripes on their back, allowed them to be imprisoned unlawfully, put them in the stocks and the chains. And said, what you going to do, boys? They said, we're going to thank you. Is that a different brand of Christianity than you have? Oh, God, let us change. You can change. You don't have to go on the way you're going. And I'll guarantee you they had a better life than most of you have. Not physically, maybe, not financially, maybe, but bless your heart, they had peace. They were filled with joy and thanksgiving.
That's right.
They thanked God. What did they thank him for? Had 39 lashes on their back. They're bleeding. They're hurting. They're in a jail cell. They're down there with rats and excrement and all sorts of junk. And they're thanking God and they're praising God. God says, that's worth an earthquake. Oh, God does those things. I know you don't like to blame him for them because you're afraid about the consequences, but God does those things. That's God's prerogative. That's not any man has anything to do with that. God shook that prison loose. They've been praying, Lord, give us a ministry in Macedonia. God, give us a ministry here at Philippi. And God brought them one whole family right there. The jailer got saved, his wife got saved, his children got saved. And there's a church in Philippi, you can read about it in the New Testament.
That's right.
There's a church in Acts in Philippi, you can read about it in the New Testament. Because somebody had enough grace to thank and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anyhow.
Amen.
Maybe because Paul, with the kind of faith he has, and Silas right with him, he might have been able to say, God, this is your will. I don't know why, but I'm going to thank you for it. I'm going to thank you for still being with me.
Amen.
I'm going to thank you for answering my prayers. I'm going to thank you for what you've done in my life. And here's a man who says, what must I do to be saved? He was struck by what he heard. He was struck by the miracle of the earthquake that came his way. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and all thy house.
Amen.
And he got saved, and all his house. Praise is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Amen.
If you're here and you're not saved, I want you to know you can get saved by believing in Jesus Christ today. You don't have to walk out of here lost. You can be changed. I was changed. Many people in this room were changed.
Yes.
You can be changed. And my Christian friend, if you got a down attitude, if you got something pressing you down right now, you got something you simply cannot live with, you can be changed.
Amen.
You need to change. That's what repentance is. I was wrong. I want to be right. I've been failing. I want to be successful. I've been unhappy. I want to be happy.
Amen.
Why don't you change today? Today can be the day you could look back on and say, the 30th of May, 2010, I got a change in my life. We're going to open up and we're going to sing a song. And this altar is going to be open. If you're here and need to be saved, come do it.